Chapter 51. Catherine's friends, watching her hold up the pieces of herself, shuddered in the courtroom. Her bones were admitted into evidence, along with several of her teeth. After such staggering testimony, Grossman now allowed her to rest. She sat quietly in her chair, dabbing her handkerchief to her mouth and watching as Dr. Walter Dalich came to the table to give evidence on her behalf. He was a clean-featured man, with a strong forehead, thick lips and dark hair. He gave evidence authoritatively. Grossman took him through his dental treatment of Catherine, and then they proceeded to a more general discussion of radium poisoning. When Madgett objected to Dalich's assertion that many dial painters became sick and died with diagnosis different from the truth, Marvel overruled him. The judge added emphatically, "The doctor is skilled and testified as an expert." It seemed the arbitrator was on Dalich's side. Dalich gave his expert opinion on the cause of Catherine's disease. "The condition," he said plainly, "is a poison from radioactive substances." With the killer statement in the bag, Grossman began more quick-fire questioning. "In your opinion," he asked, "is Catherine Donahue today able to do manual labour?" The dentist looked across the table at Catherine, who was huddled in her chair, listening to him speak. "No," he said sadly, "she is not." "Is she able to earn a livelihood?" "No," said Dalich, refocusing on Grossman. "Have you an opinion as to whether this condition is permanent or temporary?" "Permanent," he answered swiftly. Catherine dropped her head. "This is forever." "Have you an opinion," Grossman asked now, "if this is fatal?" Dalich hesitated and glanced meaningfully towards Catherine, who was only metres from him. Grossman's question hung in the air, suspended in time. 5 days ago, after the examinations in Chicago, Catherine's three doctors had indeed determined that her condition had reached its permanent, incurable, and terminal stage. Yet the physicians, who in all kindness sought to spare her, had not told Catherine Donahue. "In her presence?" Dalich now asked uncertainly. But he had said enough. He had said enough in the way he had paused. Catherine sobbed, slipped down in her chair and covered her face with her hands. At first, silent tears ran down her cheeks, but then, as though the full weight of what he hadn't said hit her, she screamed in hysteria. She screamed aloud as she thought of leaving Tom and her children, as she thought of leaving this life, as she thought of what was coming in her future. She hadn't known. She had had hope. She had had faith. Catherine had truly believed she was not going to die. But Dalich's face said otherwise. She could see it in his eyes. So she screamed, and the broken voice which had struggled to speak was now made powerful in her fear and distress. Tom broke down and sobbed at the sound of his wife's cries. The scream was a watershed. After it, Catherine could not keep herself upright. She collapsed and would have fallen had not a physician nearby caught her. Dr. Wiener had leapt to his feet to hold her up, and as he did so, Tom seemed released from his paralysis. He rushed to Catherine's side as she lay slumped in her chair. While Wiener felt for her pulse, Tom's concern was only for Catherine. He cradled her head with his hand, touched her shoulder to try to bring her back to herself, back to him.